Welcome to On Spec, where you'll hear stories that bring you closer to the globe. This is your host, Fariba Nawa. On Spec is interrupting its season zero to focus on how the novel coronavirus is impacting us across borders. We're sharing an unprecedented experience as most of the world goes into lockdown. I've been in touch with my close friends in Istanbul since the crisis began in Turkey. On March 11th, the Turkish government announced the first public case and warned people to stay home. My friends and our families went into isolation as the fatalities began to rise. As of April 10th, more than 1,000 have died and more than 47,000 have been confirmed positive for COVID-19 in Turkey. Most of us are on lockdown. The epicenter of the pandemic is Istanbul, a city of 18 million. One of my closest friends, Hilana Mahmoudi, an Iranian-Canadian photographer, was one of the first to hunker down. She had to cancel a party she organized to celebrate her 44th birthday. She also became the first among my group of friends to show any symptoms. Naturally, we all worried it could be COVID-19. Hilana and I often send each other voice messages, so I asked her if she could document her experience. Her messages give me a rare glimpse of how Turkey's handling the pandemic. It's rare because the government controls information and journalists are not given access to hospitals or patients.
I'm quite a pragmatic person. So since the beginning of this pandemic, I've been telling everyone around me not to panic and that we are all going to get it and it's not necessarily bad, and 80% of us will have it without even symptoms that would require hospitalization. So a lot of my friends are now telling me, you called this thing upon yourself.
When Hilana starts to have symptoms, she asks her ex-husband to pick up their daughters, who are 9 and 13 years old. He takes them to his place, but she's not completely alone. Her 43-year-old helper, Joanne, and Joanne's 3-year-old daughter, Sam, live in the house. Joanne is from the Philippines, but her daughter's half Turkish. Istanbul has become their home. Hilana steers clear of them, staying in her bedroom upstairs most of the time.
Last week, I had back pain and chest pain. And I thought to myself, it's probably because I've been lying down so much more than I usually do. That's why I have it. But it was probably not because of that. Now I have this shooting pain sometimes, just for like a second or two in my lungs. Not very often, but a few times a day. Aside from that, right now I have a slight headache and a runny nose that just came like 5 minutes ago, and I know it will go away in 2 minutes and then it might come back tomorrow. Fever is still 37.5. Not that bad. I feel like when I'm sitting down, I feel like I could go out and even do, a workout. But then when I get up and walk a couple of minutes, I'm out of breath. So I sit down again. I don't know, am I clear? Like, it's very strange. 1 minute you feel something, the second you don't. And then I'm thinking those people who got this very severely, they must have been in a lot of pain and discomfort.
Every day when I wake up, I check my phone to hear Hilana's voice memos. She initially sounds cavalier, even jokes as she coughs. She's got a high tolerance for pain. And I know she's familiar with sickness. She's had meningitis, swine flu, vertigo, brain trauma. But each time, my friend bounces back with her sarcastic sense of humor. Her biggest worry is her family in Iran, where so far, about 4,000 people have died.
I live in Istanbul. My parents live in Iran. My sister lives in Holland. My parents both have heart problems. Neither one of them is healthy, and they each live in a different city, isolated in their homes. And I'm worried about them. More than anything, this COVID-19 crisis, the most the most anxious thing I've felt has been worrying about my parents and thinking about when and if we can see each other again. And this is quite pessimistic, but also it's a reality. They're the ones who are at most risk, especially being in Iran. And with all the sanctions and all the strains on the health system in Iran, not having access to medication, the situation is quite bad there. There are so many things that we're all going through, sitting down in isolation, talking, thinking, reading, watching. Well, mostly on the phone, unfortunately, but we're all going through this at the same time. The whole world is going through this, and there are a lot of positive thoughts going around, and we're all hopeful that after this, we'll all wake up to a better world somehow. What I really want to talk about is this, the negative side of the story, basically. The fact that we are all so fearful and in so much panic and anxiety over this thing.
Hilana is adamant not to panic. She keeps telling us friends on WhatsApp that we need to be practical and go through the process as if we have the flu. But I can hear her coughs getting worse and her confidence faltering as she gets weaker.
So it's day 9 of possible coronavirus illness for me. I say possible because I haven't tested positive, because it's not very easy to get tested here. I can't really find a procedure. Some friends say you have to go to the hospital and sit there half a day. They do different tests. They make you have a chest x-ray, which I don't want to have. They'll tell you in 5 days. So I'm thinking going there would perhaps expose me to other viruses. So I don't want to do that. But I have all the symptoms, so I think I have it. How do I feel today? I woke up at 4 a.m. this morning with chills and some heaviness on my chest, as if like somebody was putting some pressure on it. So I got up and I went and made myself some food to eat. This thing has definitely not killed my appetite, I have to say. Is it very painful? Not that much, but I have different tolerance for pain, I think, because I've had really painful periods in my life. So this to me is not that bad. There is pressure on my chest. I feel somebody's pushing my upper chest. And then sometimes there are like these sharp pains that come and go. Breathing is a little bit difficult. Maybe you can hear it. It sounds like I've just ran up the stairs, but I can breathe very easily. So there's no problem with getting enough oxygen. And also, let me tell you what's the best part about this. The fact that I can watch as much Netflix as I want in bed with food all over, all around me without any guilt. The worst part of this, not of the illness, but of the isolation, which is actually much worse than the illness itself, has been this social distancing part, because I'm a very social person. I have very good friends, really close friends, not many, but very close friends. Not being able to give them a hug has been difficult.
Expecting snow in Tehran tomorrow.
What?
Yeah.
Snow in Tehran and 24 degrees in Vienna? What's happening to the world? Corona times.
Of course, you talk on the phone and you message constantly and this and that, all these groups and this and that. But it's not the same. Sometimes they propose to have a Zoom meeting or whatever, but that actually depresses me. I rather just wait and see their faces and give them a hug and not look at them through the computer. But still, it's still better than nothing, of course. And I have to say, like I've said, in every crisis in my life, I really don't know how I would have gone through anything without friends' support. I talk to my mom and dad more often nowadays. My mom has hundreds of different messages coming through WhatsApp, mostly jokes, because Iranian people have very good humor, especially when in times like this, which is basically every time for the past many years in Iran. They've always been going through some sort of a crisis, one after the other. This year, they've all been on top of each other. So basically their defense mechanism is making fun of it, because what else can you do, really? So I talk to my mom a lot and read all of her jokes, or some of them, not all of them. Today I got a message from my older daughter saying, "Mommy, don't die, please." To be honest, the idea of dying never crossed my mind. I never thought I'm going to die of this. So basically I'm just joking with them and, you know, making fun of them for thinking this way and this and that. Today is almost over. Going to bed soon. It was a good day, better than yesterday. But now, of the past 10 minutes, I'm feeling pain in my lungs. And this is so scary because we hear all about it all the time, that one day it gets better and then the next day it gets much worse. So you're always waiting for it to kick in again. I'm just going to try and go to bed and not panic about it. So it's 3:30 in the morning. I got up because I have irregular heartbeat, hyperventilating, breathing is hard. It's hard to breathe. It's scary, actually, because you also feel nervous. And because of that, you have anxiety attacks and breathing becomes even harder. So, and then all these different stories come to your mind that, oh, the person was doing so fine and then the next moment they just dropped dead, or the guy went to the hospital, they could breathe, but they did a chest x-ray and it was all white and all this. And then you have to just remind yourself that these are hype and that it doesn't kill you right away, and that if I can breathe and take a deep breath and hold it in, then that means my lungs are fine and this is just a virus.
ازم چطوری خوبی؟ یکم ترسیدم و پیغاماتو شنیدم از شب. با تو کام حرف زدی چی میگه؟ میگه نرو بیمارستان، نرو خونه بمون.
That was me. I'm worried and a bit panicked about Hilana's condition. I insist she go to the hospital. There's a chorus of friends on her phone telling her to get checked.
Okay, so I woke up this morning. Last night was horrible. I think I got up around 3:30 and I slept around 7. Breathing was really hard. The worst part of the day for this illness for me, it has been during the night. I usually sleep very well, but this past 3 nights I've been waking up every night around the same time, 3:34, and the reason is a heartbeat, irregular heartbeat, and shortness of breath. And it's scary. Last night I really wasn't sure if I'm gonna wake up today. today hasn't started very well. I'm thinking I'm gonna go to the hospital today to get checked.
Yok. Yok.
Tamam.
So
I'm at the hospital now. Sorry if my voice doesn't come well. I'm wearing a mask. Just got Okay, so again, I'm at the hospital. I was trying to avoid this chest tomography because it's not really healthy to do it. But the doctor listened to my lungs and said it doesn't sound very good, so we have to take the tomography. So I just had it done, waiting for the results that will come in 5 minutes, hopefully. The hospital I came to is Fulya Acıbadem. It's a small private hospital. I came to the emergency section and people are very prepared, very professional, and I haven't seen any other patients, so it's not crowded. I think Turkey has actually really dealt with this particular problem well. I feel very dizzy. Actually, this is why I decided to finally come, because I feel dizzy and I feel like there isn't enough oxygen in my brain. This is how I feel.
She finds the bright side, but I frantically wait for Hilana to tell me the results of her lung exam. It's the quickest way to know her condition. The result for the swab and blood tests for corona take 2 days, too long.
I'm waiting in this dark room with this monitor that goes beep. And I don't know why it's so dark. I mean, why did they turn the lights off? I have no idea. And they've closed the door and I'm supposed to sit here and wait to hear if my lungs have gone white or not. I think this is the scariest descriptive thing about COVID-19. The lungs go white all of a sudden. And then you collapse.
Hilana can afford the quick service of a private hospital in Turkey. The government hospitals could take much longer.
Okay, so I'm home now. My CT was clean. So the doctor said basically that they did the swab test, they did blood tests, and they did the chest tomography. The swab test, they said it would be ready in 2 days. This is the new test, but the doctor said that it doesn't mean anything, basically. If it's positive, it means it's positive, but if it's negative, it doesn't mean anything. So he said you have it because of all the symptoms, but you have it mildly, like most people. So just, keep your distance from others. That's it. This morning I woke up with a sore throat, but the pressure on my chest is mostly gone. And now I feel like how bad it was. Now I understand. Before I didn't. So I think this is good, because in every post that I've read about the stages of this, I think the throat is the last stage, no? Let's see, fingers crossed.
And finally, Hilana actually gets a call from the hospital.
So I just got the call from the hospital and my test came out positive. I don't know why I have this, I have a heartbeat now. I'm so relieved in a way, because I was hoping it would be positive because I was sure I have it. And now I'm like 100% sure. So at least I have some immunity now. That's a good thing. But now I'm really worried, because our helper who's been living in our house, although we've been trying to avoid each other, she has asthma and I'm worried about her. My kids, I haven't seen for 4 days, but there's still a possibility that they could have had it and now they will give it to their dad or people that he sees. So that's not, that's something I'm really now upset about. I thought if I get a positive call, I'll be happy, but now I'm more worried. They say it takes 2 weeks normally, 2 to 3 weeks. So tomorrow is the 14th day and I'm expecting to be all healed. Just joking. I know it's not gonna all go away this easily, but as long as there are little improvements every day, that keeps you going.
But soon after Hilana feels like she's recovering, Joanne, her helper, starts feeling sick.
Everything was going well until 3 days ago when Joanne started having symptoms. Not very usual symptoms for COVID-19, but most probably she has it. She started throwing up and having back pain and neck pain and headaches. So this is day 3 of that. She's still throwing up. She's dizzy. Yesterday I called the ambulance. They came on and they took samples from both of them, from Joanne and her 3-year-old daughter, Sam. Hopefully by tomorrow we will have the answers.
None of us know in Turkey that paramedics can just come to your house and take a sample. We're learning as we watch Hilana's struggle. A member of Hilana's local municipality calls to check on her daily after she tested positive. Turkey stepped up its efforts to test and treat patients as the number of cases rise. But so far, there's no shortage of masks, ventilators, or ICU beds. Meanwhile, Hilana tries to care for Joanne, but she doesn't have much strength. She's worried if Joanne ends up in the hospital, what will happen to Sam, a rambunctious toddler who may also be infected?
The doctors, the medics said that if she needs hospitalization, they cannot take her daughter with her to the hospital. She doesn't have anyone here. So, she has friends, but since Sam is most probably positive as well, I don't think they can be taking care of her. And I'm still not very well to take care of toddler, but I will do it anyways, because there's no option at this point. I'm just hoping everything goes well, she recovers at home and won't need any assistant.
If all the guardians of a child are too sick with the virus to babysit, the government has to take the minor to an orphanage until the adults are better.
Joanne is kind of positive about the whole thing, but I think deep inside she's quite stressed and worried about her daughter, especially since she knows that it will be complicated if she would need an assistant. And Sam, well, she's too young to understand what's happening. When she gets out, she calls me mommy and she calls Joanne mama. She comes out of the room and runs towards me saying, mommy, and I run away from her. And then she goes to her mom and cries.
Patients who recover from COVID-19 can now give blood to strengthen the immunity of those with the virus in critical condition. Hilana's gonna become a plasma donor as soon as she recovers completely. And Joanne has just begun her struggle. On April 9th, Joanne got the call from the hospital. She tested positive. Her daughter's was negative. The vicious cycle of this pandemic continues as we wait for science to catch up with a vaccine, with medications, any remedy that will free us from its prison. Thank you for listening to On Spec. Thanks to my friend Hilana and Joanne for sharing their private struggles. This episode was edited and produced by Oscar Durand. You can read Hilana's text story with her poignant photos on our Reporter's Notebook blog at onspec.news. Thanks to Farzana Wahidi for the photo selection. Next week, we'll take you to different parts of the world where COVID-19 is changing our social life, from dating to meeting friends. Till then.